find any greater truth other than the Word of God than that song right there, what is really necessary from us, that we give Him everything. He deserves that. I believe He deserves that. And that's my desire. They've sung some things today that reminded me that He knew that I was going to fail Him, and yet He still called me. He knew I was going to fail Him, and yet He still chooses to use me again. It makes no sense. If I get you to do something for me, and I already know that before you do it, you're going to tear it up, I don't know that I would probably ask you to do it if I know you're going to make a mess of it and break it. I mean, if I already know that for sure, you know. Are you understanding that? And yet he lets us live knowing that we messed up and we ain't even done it yet. But He remembers our frame. He remembers we're but dust. But that just shows how great He is. You just can't beat Him. You can't beat Him. All right? Everybody all right? Let's pray together. Father, I come. Lord, we need You this morning. Lord, I am nothing. And Lord, I need You. So Lord, I know this church needs You. We're just helpless people. And Lord, we need You today. And God, I'm asking You to speak to us. Help us. Lord, correct us where we're wrong. Encourage us where we're discouraged. Pick us up where we've fallen. Lord, save those that's lost. Stir the fire in those who've grown cold. Bring closer those who's away. Lord, whatever's needed here this morning, Lord, heal the sick if that's what You want to do. And Lord, we're just going to praise You. And Lord, we need You this morning. Lord, I ask You again, cleanse me, give me power to preach me as You see fit, not as I want to be used, but Lord, as You want to use me. And may we listen intently, not with just our ears, but Lord, with our hearts, that we might be changed today. And we're going to thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. I ask all this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, we've been preaching on reality. We're going to continue preaching on reality this morning. And reality, what reality is really just the cold, hard truth. That's reality, just the cold, hard truth. And can I tell you that we don't always like the cold, hard truth because it's cold and hard. I mean, that's pretty well, that's just the way it is. But yet it's still there. It's still truth. And it don't have to be taken that way or received that way. But I have found that there's some truth I enjoy and there's some truth that goes against my grain. The truth I enjoy, I'm happy about. The truth that goes against my grain is cold and hard. But yet it's still truth. And we still got to face it. And this morning I want us to take another look at reality. And not just this morning, but tonight as well. Because I believe this would be for all of us. I believe this is somewhere that we all are at one time or another. Maybe not today, but you have been or you will be. I've listened to a lot of preaching this week, got a lot of help, a lot of self-examination. When you travel, as you most everybody here travels, I don't listen to the radio. I don't listen to music. They don't have tape players in them no more. So I can't turn a tape on. Used to be I'd put a preaching tape in, but I can't do that. They tried to give me them things on them thumb drives, but I can't get it to come on, can't get it to work. So I just drive. So when I drive, I think. So when you drive 9 hours, you've thought a lot. All right? I've drove 9 hours, and I have thought a lot. And I thought a lot about you. And I thought a lot about your families, and I thought a lot about our county, and I thought a lot about Mark. I thought a lot about the Lord. I thought a lot about His Word. And there's some thoughts that I wished I hadn't thought because they turned into battles, and they turned into warfare. And then there's scripture that come to my mind that corrected me. And these are all good things. There was always places of blessing where you have to maybe ease over on the berm for a minute. And there's always things when you travel and think. But I believe when it comes down to reality, we all face some things. We have an enemy. We have an enemy. I've been preaching on reality. We've thought about these messages. I've got a couple more left to preach if the Lord would continue to lead that way on reality. And I want us to think about reality, I don't want nobody to go and think I'm going to give any credit here to the enemy, but we're going to preach to you this morning and tonight on reality, the work of Satan. And so there's been a lot of thoughts this week after preaching and then being in service, go back to the hotel room and study and read. And there's been a lot of scripture this week, a lot of things that the Lord has convicted me over, maybe, but showed me our world's in a rough shape. Now, somebody testified this morning, we're in a wicked shape. And the wickedness is because there is a wicked one. You understand that? There is a wicked one. And all of us are engaged with the wicked one in some area of our life. But I'm going to go ahead and read the victory to start with. Revelation 20, verse 10. Can we go ahead and start there this morning? We're just going to put it in the place where it needs to be. Revelation 20, verse 10. And it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now that's just the truth of it. So we'll just go ahead and praise the Lord. I'm going to read it again, and y'all enjoy it if you want to. "And the devil that deceived them..." Yes. I mean, let's go ahead and ask you. Anybody over here in this bank of pews ever got deceived by that wicked one? Anybody ever got slick? Anybody over here fighting? Anybody over here had their nose busted by him? Anybody over here in this bank? How about this bank here? Anybody got their nose bloodied by the enemy? How about over here in this bank? Anybody got their nose bloody? How about over here in this bank? Anybody got their nose bloodied by the enemy? Well, can I tell you, we can't bloody his. That's right. I can't do it. I ain't got a good enough punch to bloody it. But I know somebody that does. And the Bible says, Satan, hear me. The Bible says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be..." Who shall be? "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, and shall be tormented day and night." Who is the devil that deceived them? Shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible is true. Hallelujah. That's the truth this morning. His days are coming. The tempter will be banished. Huh? He will be. That's what the song says. But I like what the scripture says. Huh? Banished is one thing, but tormented is another. He's got his day coming. Now, he wore me out. Let me tell you something. You go studying about the enemy and his warfare. When you go study the scriptures about this, there's been a lot of warfare this week. A lot of warfare trying to look at this scripture, because he don't want you to look at scripture, all right? Now, when we think about the enemy this morning, let's go back and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, we can see already we're just going to get a highlight this morning, and you'll have to come back tonight, and then we might do it again next Sunday, but we'll see. But we're going to preach this as the Lord has laid upon our hearts. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's look at verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now I see that it's talking to me here very plainly that I'm not walking in the flesh, although I am, but that's not where my warfare is at. My warfare is in the spirit. We all know that. And the weapons that I have to use against the enemy are not bullets and guns and knives and rocks, but it's they're spiritual weapons. You understand that? They're not carnal, but they are mighty. Do you understand that? Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty. And they're mighty through God. They're not mighty through Marvin. They're mighty through God. And it's to the pulling down of strongholds. But then it exhorts me here, or encourages me, or tells me, however you want to say it, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought. But there's a lot said right there that I don't know that we could ever reach it, but it says, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now see, it talks about us warring, and talks about the enemy, talks about weapons, but then it talks about us obeying. Are we okay with that? Can I tell you that hearing the Word of God is wonderful, but there's no help in hearing the Word of God if we're not going to obey it. Do you know that? We have to obey the Word of God. We have to understand what's happening in our mind, in our heart, in our life. Says the brain into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, when we think about the enemy, we think about Satan, and I don't capitalize his name. I don't capitalize it. I don't circle it. I don't underline it. I don't bring no attention even to my notes. All right, I'm not gonna give him no praise, and I'm not gonna use his name a few times. And I'm gonna refer to him as he. All right, because I'm just not gonna do anything that's gonna build him up in any way, shape, or form. All right, I mean, he's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's the enemy, and I'm not gonna brag on him. I'm not gonna do that. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, I understand that there's some things here about forgiveness and everything, but what we want to, we're not trying to take nothing out of context, but this just be a truth in the verse, in verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We need to pay attention lest Satan get an advantage of us, or take advantage of us, or get one up on us, or put us in a bind, or get us in a hold. We need to be careful. Now, I'm not going to try to stand up here and teach you the existence of Satan, because if you don't believe there's a real devil, you're just ignorant. And if you've lived this long, you're ignorant and you're unteachable. If you don't believe there's a literal devil today, you're unteachable. Because Brother Rick's done taught for months and months, and I preached to you for months. All right? And if you are living your life and don't believe that there's a literal devil, then you may be worse than ignorant. All right? You don't have to look far to see the enemy. All right? He's real. He's real. Now, I want you to understand that. And can I tell you this? Now, I want you to listen carefully. Now, listen very carefully, because we might not get past much more than this. But the ultimate goal of Satan is not to damn your soul to hell. Because he don't have the power to damn your soul to hell. That's nowhere in the Scripture. Everybody look at me and listen to me. That's nowhere in the Scripture that Satan can damn your soul to hell. If you go to hell, it's going to be because you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's it. Because you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. The devil is a created being. He is not third in power. He is not deity. He is not God. He's a created being. All right? Does everybody understand that? He can do nothing, out from under the umbrella of the authority of a mighty God.
Amen.
You understand that? Now, people say, well, then God's the reason that all this stuff's going on. God allows some things. He does allow some things. He allows some bad things. What does He allow you to do? What does He allow you to get by with?
Yeah.
We won't talk about what He lets everybody else get by with. What does He allow you to get by with? Amen. How close are you cutting it right now? Huh? Just how many roses you got in your lapel this morning? Huh? We ain't got it. Yeah? So we're not gonna go that route. I'm not gonna try to preach to you the existence of Satan, but I am gonna try to give you the devices or the ammunition or the battleground that he has in us, because it affects me, it affects my family, it affects the church, it affects your home, it affects the county, it affects the world, it affects everybody, and we need to be aware of his devices, that we might live where God wants us to live, as we everybody understand it. Now, the ultimate goal is not to damn your soul to hell, although he could care less whether you went to hell or not. The enemy could care less whether you went to hell or not. All right? But he's going himself one day. Now, he is not sitting on the throne and having the cohorts that then went to hell shovel coal. That's stupidity. That's not ignorance. That's stupidity. He's not a red dragon with pointed ears and a thin mustache and a pointy tail and a pitchfork. That's not the devil. All right? That's stupidity. All right? People tattoo him on their bodies. They have little things on their refrigerator and magnet, all that. If you got that, you're stupid. You're just stupid. You throw it away, mark it off, take your magic marker, mark it off, whatever you got to do. But that's not who the devil is. That's not who your enemy is. Your enemy is not dressed up to scare you. He's not dressed up to scare you with some false face of some Freddy Krueger and Friday the 13th movie or all these things. That ain't what the enemy is. The enemy is to slick you and deceive you and try to take away from your mind the real truth of everything.
Amen.
We're in a big issue now. We got the election coming on, and everybody's discussing abortion. All right, and the argument about abortion is trying. The enemy is trying to get everybody's mind off of killing babies to try to promote the rights of a person, of a mother. So all the folks who are there, the devil knows that anybody with common sense is not going to say it's okay to murder babies.
Amen.
So he uses an argument aside from that to get you to look at the rights of people and that it's not an issue of murder, but it's an issue of rights and of it makes sense not to let the mommy die and it makes sense not to let them be deformed, and it makes sense, you know, that it tries to refocus. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Because he knows you're not going to, nobody's going to stand there and say, okay, go ahead and kill my baby. Ain't nobody going to do that. They got to be slick in some other way. So he's out to deceive you. Are you understanding me? Now, one of the things he does in deception, all right, he's not going to come to you. You're a believer. Majority of everybody here, the majority, I'm not going to say everybody, but there's probably a majority here this morning are the Christian.
Yeah.
He's not going to come to you and tell you there's no God.
No.
He's not going to do that. Because you ain't going to believe that. He's not going to come to you and tell you that Jesus is not the way. Because you're not going to believe that. Correct? You already know different. But let me tell you what he'll do. And this is his ultimate goal in every area. Is for everybody to lose focus from Christ. That nobody looks to Christ. Are you hearing me? He don't care what you believe, long as you're not focused to be any good at anything. Are you following me? Did you understand what I said? When we think about focus. See, the ultimate goal of Satan is for you and me to get our focus off Christ. Now let me ask you, look at yourself right now. Close your eyes, look at yourself, and don't be like Mikey said years ago when I said to everybody, close your eyes. He said, Mark, I don't see nothing. I said, listen, just close your eyes and examine yourself. Alright? Look at yourself. Seriously, shut your eyes and look at yourself and ask yourself. Alright, ask yourself, is there a satanic influence in your life because you've lost focus from Christ? Are you focused on Christ? Was you focused, now you look at me, was you focused this morning on Christ? When you woke this morning, was you focused on Christ or were you focused on getting to church? Were you focused on Christ or focused on feeding your dog? Were you focused on Christ or focused on what you're going to do this afternoon? Were you focused on Christ or were you focused on your problem or on your health issue or whatever the case may be? I'm not saying anything that we may have our focus on may not be wrong. That ain't what I'm saying. All right? Hey, listen, hunting season's open. All right? Bow season opens next Saturday. Right? Squirrel season been open. Well, ain't nothing better than squirrel gravy and biscuits or fried squirrel. Ain't nothing no better than that. All right? That's wonderful. Okay? But and thinking about going hunting, that's okay. But let me tell you something. He'll cause us to lose focus from Christ.
That's good preaching.
Hey, it don't mean we're going to do anything wrong. It just means we're losing focus.
Yeah.
We're losing focus. There's been days that I've got up and I've hurt so bad in the past physically that I hurt so bad that the only thing I could focus on was my pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not my health. My pain.
Yeah.
The only thing I focused on maybe on my sickness. Everybody follow me. And that's the goal of Satan. Because if he can get us to not focus on Christ, then he's happy because he wants the attention.
Amen.
Always remember that the enemy has always wanted the attention.
Yes.
Huh? And we give it to him. We give it because it's a warfare. Now, I'm not saying we're bad, but I'm just telling you, we just got to, this is a device of Satan. Does everybody follow me? Did you know that sometimes in our victory, Satan will relish in his defeat? He'll be tickled to death that he got whooped because you're going to give glory some way to somebody else other than Christ. Now, is everybody still following me?
Yes.
Let's look at a little bit of scripture. Look at Luke chapter 10. Now, don't lose me now. We're not going to preach. I promise you, I'll quit. I'm going to quit before I'm done. All right? Because I'm not going to finish the message this morning. There's no way I can. And we'll give you some things that will help you if you listen. But I want you to look at verse 10, or chapter 10, Luke chapter 10. Let's look at verse 17. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, ain't that wonderful? Ain't them verses wonderful? And they were excited. You know what they were doing? That the 70 had been given power to cast out the devils and do all kinds of miracles. And they come back to the church house and look at what we've done. The enemy was defeated. But where did glory go? You say, well, that don't say that. Well, see what Jesus said here. Verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Do you follow me? Don't rejoice. That ain't where the rejoicing ought to come from. See, we done got our attention off the Christ. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to thee, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Did you understand what I just told you? Sometimes we, even in victory, our focus ain't on the Lord. It becomes focused on us. And Satan's tickled to death because he got you to lose focus. I got whooped and you're still talking about me. Did you follow me? I got whooped and you're still talking about me. And not him. Not the Lord. Are you following me this morning? See, the ultimate goal is for us to take our eyes off the Lord. That's the ultimate goal. I'm afraid this morning that it's easily done. We all do it so easily. You know, James chapter 4. I hope that you're understanding this morning. James chapter 4. Let's look here at verse 7. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil. But yet, we got to... warfare. Now, I've not never been overseas fighting, all right? And I'm not even going to make the sarcastic remark about being married and fighting, because we don't do that either. But I have before. I've made them remarks. But can I tell you that our battles, you don't sleep good in a battle. In a war zone, if you go to sleep, you're going to get your throat cut.
Yeah.
Huh? You can't let up. You've got to be alert at all times. Is that not right? But we're not alert at all times. And we're losing focus. Are you still with me this morning? All right? Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, to think that any of us are immune from the work of the devil, then we better pay attention. Let's look here at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Can I tell you, we better pay attention. He's after us this morning. Now, Satan is against me and you. And Jesus speaks of Satan as real. He's real. He's our enemy. Over 15 times he speaks of him and shows us that he's real in our everyday life. And there's more satanic activity in our homes and in our lives than we like to admit. Is everybody hearing me? Now, I know this is none of them shouting messages. That's why we shouted at the first verse. We understand it. That's why we've done that. Okay, so we can see that. But can I tell you, when we're thinking about Satan, I want you to understand he has a mind. Do you understand that the enemy has a mind? Huh? He speaks, he debates, he deceives, he develops tactics, warfare tactics, if you would. He tricks, he organizes systems. I mean, he's behind these things, huh? He remembers. He's got a mind.
Yes.
He's not an imagination. He has a mind. He has a will. He chose to rebel against God. He has a will. He has emotions. You know that the enemy has emotions. Huh? Because he desires. He wants. He's got desires just like we do. Huh? He's filled with pride. He covets. He gets angry. Huh? But he's not all power. And he's only called a prince. He's not a king. I got the king. King Jesus is his name. I know the king. Huh? But the enemy ain't nothing but a prince. He don't have the authority the king does. He's just a prince. He's a prince of this world. Huh? He's the God of this world, but it's a little g God. Huh? But he ain't the king. Huh? And I'm just going to give you another verse. We don't want to leave you too much on the negative here. How about we turn over to 1 John? Is everybody still okay? Now, I don't know if you call this preaching or teaching, but we're gonna get down close to the corn here in a minute, maybe. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 3, I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 8. It says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I just want you to understand that Christ is more mighty, and he'll destroy the works of the devil. We still okay? But now, I want to call your attention to something. We're going to flip over to Isaiah chapter 14, and we'll probably just leave your Bible there for a little bit anyway, and we might refer to a verse here and there. But there's something that we need to pay attention to that we're seeing in the world today, and we can't be a part of it, because when we do, we're giving place to the devil. There's a reason that Paul wrote to the church and said not to give place to the devil. There's a reason for that. We can't give place to the devil. And the way the world is going right now, it's influencing. Can I tell you that what's going on in the world today is influencing our church?
Yeah.
It's influencing our relationships in our church.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
It's influencing the relationships in families. The political realm of Republicans and Democrats and independents and all the things that's going on, it's influencing and it's hurting.
Yeah.
The issues of the day is hurting, and it's not peace, but it's anger.
Right.
You understand that? Can I tell you that when anger comes and anger rules, it comes into the church house.
Yeah.
Now, let's look and see. Hang with me now. Isaiah chapter 14. We're looking at Satan's devices. And if we look at the country, and we look at anger and rebellion, look here what it says. Isaiah 14, let's start at verse 5. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. He that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and unhindered. Can I tell you that the enemy will have the nations rule in anger because of what it brings? It brings rebellion. Anger brings rebellion. Did you understand that? That's why the Bible tells us to be angry and sin not. That's why we must be careful about anger and lashing out. That's why we got to be careful in this day. Can I tell you, there's more politics in the church than there ever has been, but can I tell you, it should have probably always been, and they wouldn't be the foolishness they are in government today.
Yeah, you're right.
I believe the problems in the government today is because the pulpits have been weak.
Yeah.
And the church people have been weak.
Yeah.
All right? I believe that. All right? But let's say, talk about anger. And let's see if we can understand this. Like if we rule, we're talking about ruling now. We're talking about the Satan ruling, the enemy ruling, trying to rule the nations with anger and how we get caught up in it. Is everybody still okay? Now, if you don't believe that, the message I preached here a few weeks ago didn't set well with everyone. When I condemned the Democrats, and I didn't condemn the people, I condemned the platform.
Yeah.
That was not, everybody didn't like that. Some got mad.
Yeah.
All right. But I'm not going to dwell on the anger. I'm going to dwell on the truth.
Amen.
And I'm not going to sacrifice truth for unity.
Amen.
Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
I'm not sacrificing truth for unity.
No.
All right? But when let's look at it. As parents or anyone in authority, if we have rebellion under us, we need to examine our heart for a spirit of anger. Reason being, I look at the authority that's above us and look at the anger. Look at the anger with the presidents and those running. And look at the anger in Congress and Senate. Look at the anger from aisle to aisle. And now look at all the people under all of us. Has it not caused rebellion? Has anger not caused rebellion? Talk to me. If I'm preaching anything that's true here. It brings rebellion.
Yeah.
Well, who is that? Who is behind all this? Can I tell you that when we get angry, then that ain't the Lord. But when we rebel, that ain't the Lord neither. And others, we may not be the one that's angry, but we will be the one that rebel because anger is in authority.
Yeah.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? Pride. We're talking about the devices of Satan with pride and jealousy, self-will, rebellion, covetous. All that's Satan's sins. But yet that's what we're supposed to be freed from. But yet we're finding the same thing in the church house. See, if we're not careful, our focus is going to be so much more as it is now. Where is our focus? Our focus is not on our help of Christ, but our focus is on the gas pump. We're mad now because gas is going down. We got mad because gas went up. Right? Now we're mad because it's coming down, because we're mad for why it's coming down. But who is behind this? Are you understanding? I'm just glad I'm not paying what I did pay for. All right? Now, I don't understand why. I understand why. Would you rather pay $4 a gallon or $3.09? What would you rather pay? Is everybody following me? See, we're not focused on Christ or the help. We're mad now because things are better. Can I tell you that in the weeks to come, beef will go down. Groceries are going to go down just a little bit.
Yeah.
Interest rate. They wanted to drop the interest rate for the first time in so long a time. Why? Now we got conservatives mad. Mad me. Is everybody listening to me? Mad because instead of paying $15 a pound, I'm going to get to pay $13. Ain't no sense in that. Because I know why they're, yeah, but we're not looking at it cheaper. We're looking at it because now we're just mad. Why? Do you think the Holy Ghost is causing this? Or is anybody following what I'm saying this morning? And we're bringing it into the church. Listen, I should not have to preach to Christians that it's wrong to support abortion.
Amen. Amen.
I should not have to preach to Christians that it's wrong to support alcohol. I should not have to preach to Christians that it's wrong to support fornication and adultery. I shouldn't have to preach that.
Amen. You're right.
But I have to. Now, if I went down to the mayor's place, or if I went over to the tractor bar and preached it, yeah, that would be the right audience. But it has to be preached in the church house. Why? Talk to me this morning. Who is behind the life that we're living this morning? That you have to tell a believer that murdering babies is wrong. It don't matter whose rights is infringed. It don't matter what they are, whether they're an elephant or a donkey or rider, it don't matter. Why would a Christian say it was all right to commit adultery?
Yeah.
Why would a Christian say it's all right to be drunk and to use drugs? Why would it even enter their mind? Why would it enter a Christian's mind to talk dirty?
Yeah.
Why? That's not the Holy Ghost.
No.
This is the working of Satan in our lives. In our lives. In our lives. It's the battles we're fighting. The warfare. I told you I'd let you out. So Cheryl, you're the piano. What do we do? Well, the first thing, we're going to get you right to the antidote and we'll go back and preach more tonight. But what do we do? Well, we're going to have to recognize the place Satan has in our life. Look at me this morning. Satan has a place in our life. I know it and you know it. I know where it's at in my life and you know where it's at in your life.
Yeah.
All right? I'm going to have to recognize it. And then I'm going to have to repent of the sin that he's influenced me to do because of it. Are you hearing me this morning? Now, don't just put your Bibles up and get ready to leave. Listen to me this morning. Huh? And then we're going to have to recognize that and repent of it. Then we're going to have to return to the fellowship with Christ that's been hindered. Are you listening to me? We come Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and we can't gain enough ground. And I'm talking to Christians. And we can't gain enough ground because our focus ain't on Christ. Our focus is on everything else. And he's doing exactly what he wants to do in our life. We're talking about the enemy. Are you listening to me? He'll cause you to only be concerned about politics and only be concerned about how it's going to affect your pocketbook or not concerned about my life for Christ. I'm going to have to recognize the place Satan has in my life, and when I recognize where it's at, I'm going to have to repent and get back to the place that he's hindered me. That there might be fellowship intact. Huh? Then I can rejoice. Did you know? I even baited you. And everybody didn't rejoice when I started with Revelation 20:10. Do you know I even baited you and egged you on and encouraged you? Give you a place to shout where Satan was going to be destroyed, and everybody couldn't. Because of the influence, because of the satanic influence that's in our lives, we can't even rejoice because the enemy is vanquished already. I read where his sentence has already been pronounced. The execution has just not come up yet. But the sentence has been pronounced that the enemy is going to be tormented day and night. And the judge has said that the enemy will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Guilty as charged. It just ain't been carried out yet. But because of satanic influence in our life and our focus that has been turned away from the anger that is in leadership, has caused us to rebel against the mighty King. Father, help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.